going to get everyone to stand this morning as we have Andy come. Let's welcome him. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah. So good. Awesome. Thank you. Wow, it's just such a privilege and an honor for me to be here with you today. I just love you, and I just feel like God absolutely loves you. And so I'm just so blessed and humbled, honored, and I feel really privileged to have the opportunity to come and just share today. So thank you so much. And thank you for who you are. I know we had our conference recently, and I think 14 of you came up from here, I believe. Give me a wave if you came up. Isn't that awesome? And so how many know right now we're in, on the planet right now, there is a massive global shift taking place. There is a massive reformation taking place on the planet right now. In the 1500s, we had the first reformation with Luther and Calvin. That was a reformation where Jesus Christ was restored back to the church, faith in the name of Jesus. In the early 1900s, we had a second reformation. It was a mighty move of the Spirit. Holy Spirit was restored back to the church in the early 1900s. You've heard of the Welsh Revival and Azusa Street, right? Amen. Well, right now we're living in a season where the Father is coming back into His church. We're living in a reformation. And how many know God doesn't work out of the blue? He works through people like me, people like you. He can work out of the blue because He's sovereign, but His mode of operation is He'd prefer to use you. And so if there's a reformation right now on the planet, how many know what He's looking for is reformers? Can't have a reformation without reformers. And so when I heard that 14 of you had come up to our conference, I thought, oh my goodness, something's stirring a hunger in the heart of these people, this community, this family of believers down in Auckland that wants the more. And there must be something of a marking of heaven on you for that hunger to be stirred within you, because the reason why the hunger is there is because God wants to lead you into that which you are hungering for, because blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? They shall be filled. The blessing's not in being hungry. The blessing's in where the hunger takes you. And what you're hungering for, you get filled with. And I just feel like there was a hunger, and I saw it in your actions, for a new move of God's Spirit, something fresh, something powerful, that we're done with just status quo religion, that we need the more. And so that's why I'm here, because I saw the hunger. And so I want to honor the hunger, and I want to say, yeah, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. That there is a filling, there is a stepping in, there is a season shift. And I wanted to speak into what I sense in my spirit as I was praying for you, something of the shift of the season that you're stepping into as Pursuit Church. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
I really want to honor your pastors. I just want to honor Pastor Ray. I know that. Gosh. I haven't forgotten your names. I was just doing a power pause. No. I really want to honor your pastors, Pastor Ray and Pam, and just say, just honor and love you guys. I love your pursuit of His presence. I love what you're going after. I love your friendship. I love the fact that we're in this together. And I think that together we win. Together we win. And so praise the Lord. I can feel the Holy Spirit here, by the way. And He feels good. I like the way He feels. Let me pray. So Father, thank You for Your presence. Thank You that You're right here, right now. in this room. Father, I'm reminded of the first words that you spoke over humanity. The very first word you said was be, not do. It was be. Thank you that we get to be human beings, not human doings. And that as we be, we are fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Father, the first word you spoke over the human race was the word be. And Father, you're speaking into our identity this morning. Just be a son. Just be a daughter. And you'll be fruitful, you'll multiply, you'll fill the earth, subdue it. Father, thank you that we can just rest in who we are, in who you made us. I speak rest today. I thank you for your voice today that says, you're mine. You're my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter. In you I am well pleased. That you're very important to the heart of the Father. There is a significance stamped upon your life. You have a part to play. You have a part to play for this nation. Father, thank you that we have a part to play. And so, Lord, I thank you for your presence. I thank you that you're the God who responds to your children. And as we were praising you, you couldn't help but stoop a little closer. And bless us with your presence. You respond. Thank you that you're here. Amen. Well, the Father loves you. So I felt I had something of a word dropped into my spirit. Let me share a couple of testimonies. I know you guys were just announcing that you're going into Fiji, right? You're heading into Fiji as a church next year, and it's going to be a powerful time. Amen. And so we love missions as well. And we just got back from a missions trip in Myanmar and in the Philippines and in, where else were we? Malaysia. And we saw God doing wonderful things. One quick story was about a six-year-old child was brought to the front and in a healing time. And his parents showed me the two tumors, one here and one there. And the effects of the tumors were it was messing around with his immunity. It was weakening him. His hemoglobin wasn't functioning properly. And so he was in, the doctors, they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to deal with this. And so I didn't have an interpreter, but I got to, how many know the language of love can be communicated in ways other than English? How many know the Father's heart? I just love what Pam's talked about with the kisses from heaven. And I see miracles and healings, not as something that God does so that he'll twist our arm to make us become better Christians. And if we've done enough, you know, maybe he might heal me. I just see them as little love gifts from heaven, kisses from the Father. Mwah, I love you. Mwah, I love you. All that pain leaving your body is a I just love you. I don't like it when you're in pain, says the Father. And I just want to bring healing to you. And so I didn't even use any words, just laid hands on this young child. And you know, it's when it comes to healing the sick, by the way, it's not so much about the words that you say. It's about the presence that you release. It's not so much the words you say. It's the presence that you release. And so I leaned back and I saw something on an expression on the Father's eye. I saw the Father's face and I saw the compassion that he had. And then the power of the Spirit just came over that boy and I had his parents check around for the tumors. And first pop, they were checking for the tumors and I got to watch their face. Normally I see the healed face on the person I'm praying for, I got to see the healed face on the parents as both of them were poking around trying to find the tumors and they're completely gone. Just disappeared. The tumors are gone. And they were crying more than the little kid, more than the 7-year-old child. And just God's just doing wonderful things. We're off to Indonesia in a couple of weeks. And last year when we were in Indonesia, we just documented 1,000 physical miracles. We wrote down 1,000 physical miracles that had taken place in people's bodies. That's just the miracles that we'd written down. And I'm so excited to head back. We're going to see 1,000 more. We're going to see magnificent things taking place. In Fiji, you will see magnificent things taking place. One story from Indonesia is we're in the second largest city. It's called Surabaya. And in that city, it's a Muslim city. It's Muslim. And there's more Muslims there than any other religion. And in that culture, they call it an honor culture, but it's more like a shame culture. And there's, rather than an orphanage, there was this place that we went and visited that wasn't an orphanage for kids. It was more like an orphanage for teenage pregnant girls. And so they would get pregnant through rape, through their boyfriends, and then their boyfriends leaving them, through incest. Just, there's about 30 of these pregnant teenagers that had as young as 13, with their big bellies. They had nowhere to go. They're pushed out onto the streets because of the honor culture, because of the shame around, my daughter is pregnant, and we cannot have this. It's out of wedlock. So they push them out. They got nowhere to go, baby in their belly. And how many know that's a painful situation to be in? Praise God for this one charity that opens up their doors and lets them come. And they have like this family, about 20 to 30 of these mums when we were there. And we led them on most of them are Muslim girls. We led them on an encounter. And they had this encounter. And the presence of the Lord just came into the room. And they began to experience something of the Father's love and the Father's kindness. And in that place of the Father's presence, I had them ask this simple question. I said, hey, why don't you repeat this after me? Just say, Father, do you really love me? And so they all these girls in their Bahasa language said, Father, do you really love me? And I watched Pam as just tears in their eyes just begin to well up as they're hearing something back into their own spirit. Father loves me, yes. He loves me. And then I had them ask this next question. Repeat this after me. I said to them, Father, do you love this baby that's in my belly? This baby that's caused so much pain for me. Do you love this baby in my belly? That was a simple question I had them ask. And I watched as the tears turned into weeping. As they're just weeping and weeping and weeping. They're standing against they're going across two walls, and these girls are just crying and weeping. And as they're hearing the Father resoundingly say, yes, of course he does. Of course he loves those girls. Of course he loves the child in that belly. Of course he does. And then how many know it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. So kindness is a leader leading us somewhere, and where kindness, the leader, is leading us is to repentance. Amen? So I gave a simple altar call. Who would like to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Who would like to accept Jesus Christ as the way to the Father, the only way to the Father, so you can step into that place of knowing this love as a lifestyle? And I didn't need to delay the altar call. Every single one of the Muslim girls gave their heart to Christ within about 5 seconds. And they've tried to tell me that it's hard to get the Muslim saved. But the kindness of the Lord leads to repentance. When the Christians of a city can say and can demonstrate that he is kind, how many know the city repents? Problem is, we haven't quite got there as a church. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about in our nation. We haven't quite repented ourselves enough into the beauty of what our Papa is truly like. He's very kind. He's very loving. He's magnificent. Beyond all words, he's the great Father. Jesus Christ described him and said he is perfect Father. That means everything you could ever have wanted or dreamed of in a father, our God is that. And so much more. Abba, Father, Daddy. And he wants to be daddy to you. And he wants to show you the look in his eyes towards you. Eyes of understanding. Eyes of love. Eyes of compassion. Eyes of empathy. Eyes of, I know what's going on. I know what's going on in your world. Yet I love you. Eyes of the flame of love in my heart towards you has never once flickered all throughout your life. You are special to me. Those kind of eyes. Anyway, I'm getting distracted. Holy Spirit. So I had a word. I want to just share a word that I felt was for you, and just to articulate something of the seasons over pursuit of His presence, church. So is that okay? All right. So turn in your Bibles, if you have Bibles, to Matthew chapter 13. If you have Bibles, I like this. There are some paper Bibles in this church. You guys are so retro. I love it. We need an app in our church just to like have the sound of pages turning, because everyone turns on their iPads or their iPhones or their... But you guys have got the sound of real paper. This is so beautiful. I just love it. So in Matthew chapter 13, how many know Matthew 13 is a very important chapter in the scriptures? This is known as the parables. This chapter is known as the place where the parables of the kingdom of God, and it's the place where they are first released by Jesus. This is the chapter loaded up with kingdom parables. And how many know we're in a kingdom move of the Spirit, right? There's something about this kingdom movement that's taking place on the planet right now that we need to take a hold of, because it's what God is breathing on. And so this is a very important passage of Scripture in Matthew 13. And so it is actually the first moment in the history of the planet when the king of the kingdom is going to explain kingdom. And if anyone has his finger on the pulse of the reality of kingdom, it would be the king of the kingdom. Amen? It's the first teaching we get of the king of the kingdom from his perspective of kingdom. So his perspective of kingdom is going to be the purest, most accurate perspective of kingdom. Amen? And so this is the moment in history. So let's read Matthew 13, verse 1. Here we go. On that day. I'm going to stop right there, actually. On that day. What day? On what day? Because I want to know what day that this is, that the author, Matthew, inspired from the Spirit, is inspired by Holy Spirit to write into Scripture on that day. And then the revelation of kingdom is about to be unleashed onto the planet for the first time in the history of the world in such a powerful way by the king of the kingdom himself. I kind of want to know what day, because the afternoon that this revelation of kingdom is released on is off the foundation of the morning of what took place earlier. I want to know what is the foundation, because for me, I want to come into an understanding of kingdom, because I want to align to kingdom. I'm getting too excited. It's like I'm preaching to 10,000. I want to understand the kingdom because I want to align with the kingdom, because Isaiah says that of the increase of his government, which is the kingdom, and his peace, there will be no end. It's an ever-increasing kingdom. It's a kingdom that grows. Amen? So I want to come under alignment with this kingdom so that the ways of the kingdom can be expressed through my life. Not only through my life, but through the nations too. Not only through the nations, but through your lives, because each of us have a part to play in carrying the kingdom of God. sharper. So I want to know, what is this foundation? So that I can sit on that foundation, so that I can come into the same place of kingdom revelation myself, so I can align, so I can explode through my life. You guys are with me, right? So on what day? We need to back up a couple of scriptures. Let's go back about four or five scriptures. And we're going to go into Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to read verse 46. We're going to read verse 46 through to 50. While Jesus was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and his brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples. Did you catch that part? Stretching out his hand towards his disciples. Anyone in here, by the way, disciple of Jesus? So stretching out his hand toward his disciples, who would kind of be just like us, we're disciples too, says this. He said, behold, as he's stretching out his hand, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and my sister and my mother. As he's pointing to the disciples, he is my brother and my sister and my mother. Now, brother, sister, mother, there's a common theme. Anyone want to take a guess at what the common theme is? Who said that? I heard it in the back by John. Thank you, John. The common theme, brother, sister, mother, is family. He has just released a massive bombshell revelation that, oh, you guys thought you were just religious disciples of mine in religion? You guys thought that I was a rabbi gathering disciples? You're not just disciples. You're my family. You're my family. He's just released the revelation that the disciples aren't just disciples. The disciples are his family. I can feel the Holy Spirit, by the way. The disciples are his family. Of course they are. You're not just disciples of Christ, you are family. So remember that scripture, on that day, on what day? The day that he releases the kingdom parables, the day he releases kingdom revelation like never before, is off the foundation of he's released a revelation of family. He preaches kingdom in the afternoon, family in the morning. The foundation of kingdom is family. He preaches kingdom in the afternoon, family in the morning. To step into kingdom, you don't step outside of family. You stay in family and then you express kingdom, because in the kingdom now you've got family bristling with purpose. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born. This is a huge verse. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Say, a son is given.
Son is given.
Speaking of Jesus, but it's creating his principle for us. Jesus Christ was not just a son, but a given son. Given over. He was a given over son. And then it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. Now, we've got the benefit of hindsight. We know what the government of God is. It was a kingdom. Jesus said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's the kingdom. On the shoulders of the Son is the kingdom, the given Son. Amen? He walks around carrying the kingdom on his shoulders. The principle is, it is the given sons, the given daughters, who carry the kingdom. Who carry the kingdom. I need to let you know, you carry the kingdom on your shoulders. The ever-expanding kingdom that Jesus said is at hand right here, right now. That the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yes, it's future. Yes, of course it's future. Yes, of course the kingdom is coming. But Jesus Christ said the kingdom is also at hand. It's right here, right now, and coming. And so in your life, you get to carry this kingdom that is exploding with the life of God out into Fiji, out into your workplace. It is the given sons. Whoa. So smile. Papa loves you. You're in his family. It's not the slaves. It's not the servants. It's not even the kings that carry the kingdom. It's not even royalty that carries king. You'd expect it to be the kings, but it's the sons, it's the daughters that carry the kingdom. I'm talking to some in this room, all of you in this room. You know, the Father, as our Father, Jesus said, you pray, our Father. What's a father looking for more than anything else? As Father, the Father is looking for sons, daughters. There's the Father, Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, it talks about his leadership philosophy. It says that Jesus Christ is leading many sons into glory. So that's Jesus is after sons. Holy Spirit, another name of Holy Spirit is he's the Spirit of adoption. Adopting, we're getting there. And by sons, I also mean and daughters, okay? I've got to make sure you don't feel left out because you guys are amazing. It's amazing. Just patch of ladies just in that section there. Fire is on you. Man. In Romans chapter 8, verse 19, it says that all of creation is waiting with eager expectation, waiting for the manifestation of the... Yeah, one translation says that all of creation is on tippy toes, peering, waiting with eager excitement for the revealing of the sons of God. So we got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all of creation. So that's all the Trinity, all of creation. One goal, the arising of the sons, the arising of the daughters. Now, that's what's happening right now across the planet. Sons and daughters are rising. That's what's happening right here in this place. Sons and daughters are arising. Leadership philosophies, leadership wineskins. How do we create leadership models to answer the beating heart dream of the Trinity in creation? That which creation and Trinity is pushing towards is using the resource of Trinity to bring into being. What kind of leadership models do we need to step into? Military leadership models, for example, in church. I'm talking about church leadership styles. Military leadership, that'd be really great for raising up soldiers. Creation's not looking for soldiers. Business models of leadership, really good for raising up workers and employees. That's not what the Trinity is looking for. I've come to share with you today, and I can feel it in this atmosphere of this place, that the greatest leadership models to raise up the sons and the daughters to answer the cry in the heart of the Father, Son, and Spirit is the leadership model of family. The greatest place for a son, the greatest place for a daughter to emerge is in family. Family nurtures what creation in the Trinity is burning for. So the church leadership models are of mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, rising up, rising up, rising up. Forgive me for preaching to you as if you're 10,000. I'm just very excited about this. I'm very, very excited. So my prayer is, Father, teach me how to have revival in family. I remember when I was single. Oh my goodness, revival when I was single was so easy. Oh, I want to have revival. I'll just go off into the, you know, I used to just go off into the mountains and fast and pray for like 3 days, 4 days, 7 days, 8 days. Don't think any longer than 8 days. I got too hungry up there. Too cold. I could just, oh my goodness, I feel like I just want to go out into the streets and just preach the gospel and see miracles breaking out. I don't have to ask my wife. I don't have to check it off with my children. I could just go out and have revival and see miracles breaking out. But now I've got kids. Now I've got a wife. Now I've got Jesus. And I was praying, how do I have revival in family? And the Spirit just stopped me and said, I love it when the Spirit rebukes. He's so kind. He says, Andy, family is revival. There is something of a movement of divine kingdom family touching nations for sons and daughters to rise up in, who become apostolic fathers and mothers of nations and regions. Right. I love what my friend says. He says, his name is Ricky Paul. He says, it's the season to see sons. Right. Ephesians 3, 14 and 15 was one of my die for verses. It says, Paul's saying, for this reason, I'm bowing my knee before the Father. Say, Father. From whom every family, say family, in heaven and on earth derives their name. Now, how many know in the scriptures, in biblical, the way that the Bible works is that a name wasn't just Tom, Dick, and Harry because it sounded nice. A name meant your identity, your attributes, your character, who you are. So, for this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives their identity. In other words, it's the Father in the context of a family that releases us into who we are. Which means that to the degree we don't know him as our Father, say he's more like a master, more like a judge. That's my testimony. He might be more like a master or a judge. He was like that for me. The Father and the Godhead. He was the scary one. And the degree I don't know his church, his family, is the degree that I'm being ripped off of my identity. I don't know who I am. But the problem is, who I am and who you are in this room is amazing. If you knew who you are, you wouldn't want to be a copy of anyone else. Because who you are is magnificent. But if it's the Father in family that releases you into your identity. So for me, born again in 2001, I wanted to let you in a little bit of my story. So that, because the reason why I want to let you in a little bit of my story is because I really want to let you into my world, because I really see us together in the kingdom. Our church is together. And so in 2001, I was born again. And I was in first love. I'm sure I heard the voice of the Father. But the problem was, it didn't take too long until I was like, oh my goodness, God is real. This is amazing. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! But I started wanting to express my love for him by trying to work for him. In fact, I remember being under the stars late at night as a young man, just burning in 2001, just meeting the Father, 23 years old, all zeal, no wisdom. And under the stars, just praying, looking up at those stars and saying, oh my goodness, Jesus Christ, I love you. You saved me. Oh, you're so kind. You're amazing. Thank you for salvation. And because I'd met Jesus. And then Holy Spirit, I'd been baptized in Holy Spirit, had waves of electricity going through my body. And I'm saying, Holy Spirit, you're so amazing. I love you too. And you feel so good. And then looking up at those stars back then, 6 months into my salvation, my theology wasn't too good. It's okay to be 6 months into your salvation and not have the best theology. That back then I thought it was the Father who was the sole creator. And so I look at the Milky Way thinking it was just the Father that made that, not realizing it was Jesus and Holy Spirit were in on the job too. I'm looking up there, I'm looking at the Milky Way, and then I say, but Father, I remember this prayer vividly. You seem too distant to me. You seem too big for me. You seem too mysterious for me. I'm not going to focus on you. I'm just going to focus on Jesus and Holy Spirit. And without knowing it, I had made a vow in my heart that day. I'm not going to pursue the Father. I'm going to pursue Jesus and the Spirit. Praise God, I think the Father made a vow in his heart that day. I'm going to get that boy. But I remember 2003, so 2001 born again, 2003 I'm up a mountain. The backstory was I was so hungry for the gifts of the Spirit. I'm still so hungry for the gifts of the Spirit. And the prophetic, I was born again into the prophetic. I was born again through a prophetic word. And so I wanted this. It impacted my life so much. I wanted to do work for God. I wanted to be a really good worker for him. And so I wanted the prophetic. I'd had $400 given to me by each from three friends. I had, I don't know, over $1,000. I can't do the math real quick. $1,600, that's right, in my pocket. And I was about to get into the travel agent because I was going to buy the tickets. We're going to go to the School of the Prophets in Australia. So I was going to get the prophetic anointing. 2003, School of the Prophets, get a phone call from my pastor at the time. Just as I'm about to go down, he says, oh, Andy, I've heard some strange things about that church. Best that you don't go. I honored my spiritual leadership, which is highly recommended. But I had that time off work. I didn't go. I had that time off work. I figured, well, if I can't go to the School of the Prophets in Australia and get it taught, I'm just going to go up a mountain with a tent and some water and my Bible. And I'm just going to go and claw into the face of God. And I'm going to get it straight from him. So I'm up there on the mountaintop, fasting and praying, crying out, God, I want the prophetic anointing. Give me prophecy. I asked for this. I want this. Day one, day two, day three. And I'm starting to get, my throat is starting to lose its energy. Mind you, so am I. I'm really hungry. I've got hunger pains. I'm meant to be up on the mountain in the presence. I'm up on the mountain in the hunger pains. I'm not feeling any presence. But I knew I wanted this so bad. And so, Father, I asked for this. I'd lie on rocks and just, you know, there was a little bit of a Gnostic thing on me there. I don't like Gnosticism anymore. Don't worry. I'm not like that anymore. Pursuing it on this fifth day, on the sixth day, I'm done. I'm over it. I'm annoyed. I'm like, God, send me a pig. I had a little pocket knife. Send me a pig. That'll be a sign from you to me to end this fast. I'll stab it. We'll cook it up. We'll eat it. And I just like, oh. And then I said this. I prayed this prayer. I said, oh God, I've come up onto this mountain to go after prophecy. But God, that's what I've come up here for. But God, what do you want? And I'll never forget what I heard. It was like I almost heard. I wouldn't say it was outwardly audible, but it was inwardly audible. What I heard was the sigh of heaven. It's like the angels just going, ah. Andy's finally asked a right question after 6 days. then I heard the voice of the Father again saying, I desire intimacy. I was angry. Been up there for 6 days. Not hungry, nothing. No presence for 6 days. Abandoned. I'm like, I hear the voice. I desire intimacy. I say to him, that's what all the preachers say on their altar calls. What does that even mean? I began to hear the voice of the Father begin to speak to me about his heart just to know us, to be with us, for intimacy with him. I began to hear the Father's voice. I walked down off that mountain and I came back into a culture that I don't think, we loved the Jesus, we loved Holy Spirit. We didn't really know the Father too well. Back, my culture was back to try and please the Master. Instead of in the Father's house, we get to work from love. We get to work from acceptance. We get to work from belonging and from significance. I was working for love, for belonging, for acceptance, for significance. I didn't have a culture to sustain it. It wasn't until the end of 2008. In the end of 2008, I'm in Redding, California. And I've started my first year of Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. I get a phone call. I was praying 3 hours a day on my little hill in Redding, California. I get a phone call at 1 o'clock in the morning. Now, when you get a phone call at 1 o'clock in the morning, you kind of get a little bit freaked out. And my wife starts interceding. I'm like, oh gosh, you know, phone call at 3 in the morning. One in the morning. So I answer the phone and I say, hi, it's Andy. Like hoping it's going to be good news. Hi, it's Andy. This voice goes, does it hurt? I'm like, Except for it wasn't like that. It was like a demonic voice. It said, does it hurt? I'm like, hi, it's Andy. Does it hurt? Like this. I'm like, huh? The voice says, does it hurt? No smile. Hang on, I'm going to try not to smile. Does it hurt when you fall from heaven? Does it hurt when you fall from heaven? As dark as you can get a voice. And then hangs up on me. Does it hurt when you fall from heaven? Now, I had just been to Bethel when I was a young Christian, you know, I would have got up and in my hotel room or whatever when I felt a demonic presence and shakalang bandai'd and shakarabababa, I put the blood on you in the name of Jesus. I bind every spirit. I bind Moloch. I bind this, da 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 da. In the net and like blah, blah, blah. Half an hour later, I'd have been, oh, that's done enough. But I'd just been hearing from Papa Bill, draw near to God, he draws near to you. That's in James. As we draw our attention to him, he comes. I used to think that was a little promise you'd put on your fridge, draw near to God. One day, if you believe and hold on to that long enough, he'll draw near to you. I didn't realize it was a present tense reality. But as we draw near in our hearts to him, he can draw near to us. And so I drew near in my heart to the Spirit, because there was a spirit of fear that had just come in my room. But that sponsor behind that voice. I turned my heart to Holy Spirit and didn't take too long. Holy Spirit is the Lord is the Spirit, right? 2 Corinthians 3, the Lord is the Spirit. His presence comes in the room and the fear leaves and the peace comes. And the one word I usher is, blessed am I when I'm cursed for righteousness' sake, for great is my reward in heaven. I drift off back to sleep, but little did I know that that blessing was about to activate that night. I had a dream. A prophet lays his hands on my head, well-known international prophet, and says, Andy, I impart to you intimacy with God, with no agenda, no strings attached. I wake up from that dream, not realizing how much of an impartation had taken place. I go to my prayer hill. I would be there 3 hours a day just before that time. And I would be dreaming of revival. Dreaming of preaching the gospel with power and the sick being healed and the blind eyes opening up and having words of knowledge and scheming with the Spirit of how we can see cities falling to the name of Christ. Well, I started to do that the next morning. And the Spirit says, stop. Andy, who am I? Well, I don't know. I kind of know, but I want to get more anointed for you so I can show you I love you, God, and so I can do stuff for you, God. And so let's try and start dreaming of revival again, dreaming of preaching and praying in and prophesying over our nation. And the Spirit would just say, stop, Andy. Who am I? Why don't you, he say, turn off your dream switch. He had to say it over and over again. Turn off your dream switch. Stop, who am I? And so I had to relearn how to pray. I didn't know how to pray. I was always praying to get an anointing from God. I didn't know how to just be with him, for him. And it took about 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, that voice I heard in 2001, the voice I heard on the mountain in 2003 came back again. First thing I heard this voice say was, Andy, I'm your safe place. You don't have to put on your best religious robes to come into my presence. You can come before me as you are. You're my son. I was hearing again the voice of Father. And I began a journey into the Father, meeting Papa. And everything changes when you begin to meet him. So remember Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family derives their identity. Only the Father releases us into who we are. Because you don't know who you are until you know whose you are. And your beloved sons, beloved daughters of the Father. Oh my goodness. I've totally messed up my message. I had them in Matthew 13. It's now after 12. I didn't even get to release what I wanted to release of the prophetic word. But I felt the Father in this room. You know, for me, before I had met the Father, I was working for love instead of from love. I was working for significance instead of from significance. Imagine all those hours of work. If I, rather than working for significance, had known that I could, I was already significant. If you're already significant because the Father just loves you. And I had have invested my time working from that instead of for that. How much more fruitful would I have been? I was like Peter. I wasn't like John. Peter was the guy that's like, Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you so much. He's taking a gauge of fire in his heart. Oh, Lord, my heart is on fire for you. I love you. I love you. I love you. But then on the other side of the coin, you had John. And John's boast was not, I love you. His boast was, Lord, you love me. I'm the beloved. 180 degrees the other way around. Instead of, Lord, I love you, John was, Lord, you love me. The way the Spirit spoke to me about this was, I'm going to try and attempt to close. So it's going to be okay. I'm going to get there. This is not going to be the never-ending sermon. But I had a vision. I want to share this with you as a gift. And in the vision, I'm at this large expanse of water. And it's like I have a little, it's like I had a little, here we go. Is this my water? Oh, praise the Lord. It's my little prop too. I need some of this. It's It's like I had my little heart of love. I was like Peter. I spent years being like Peter, where I was like at the edge of this big ocean of water. I'm like, Lord, I love you. Here's my little heart of love, Lord. Lord, it's got my little water of love in it. Lord, I love you. Once in one church, I said it was like a shot glass. I'll never say that again. They said, Andy, you don't say shot glass in church. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. I'm like Peter. Lord, I love you. It's about my love for you, Lord. Lord, I love you. And you know what? The Father is so gracious. He's like, oh, Andy, son. I love your love. Thank you so much for your love. Nothing's lost, by the way, in your love expression to him. He receives all of your love. But then in the next scene in the vision, I get taken down and I'm like at the bottom of this big wall, 50 meters, 100 meters high, and it's the walls of a dam. And I'm like, wow, Lord, I love you, Lord. And then I hear the Father saying, but Andy, that's your little heart of love. This, my heart of love is like this massive dam, this huge expanse of water. It's an ocean of love that I have towards you. But son, and I'm standing at the bottom of the dam, there's pressure on the walls of the dam. There's pressure from the greatness of my love on the walls of this dam. I am burning. I have a great desire to let the walls come down and to see my love crash over you. But you don't think you're worthy enough to receive my love. Humanity doesn't think we're worthy enough to receive his love. In John 3:16, it says, it doesn't say for God loves the world that he gave his son. It says for God so loves the world. The so love is the ache in the Father's heart to love the world. But the whole world is saying, no, we're not worthy, not good enough. We haven't done enough yet. We haven't been religious enough. We haven't fasted enough. We haven't evangelized enough. We haven't done enough. No, we're not worthy yet. And all the time, the Father's heart is like, I so love you. And there's weight in my heart. And I'm looking for someone I can cause the waters of love in my heart to gush out from. You see, in the baptism of Jesus, it doesn't say, for this is my son who really, 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 really loves me. And because of that, I'm well pleased. You know what it does say, right? This is my beloved son. The son was the first to answer the soul, the ache in the heart of God, to pour out love on the world. The son was the first one to say, I refuse the lies that I'm not worthy enough. I will choose to let you love me, Father. I will choose to let you love on me. Answering the ache in the heart of the Father to find someone that would let his love pour out upon them. And so I believe that the Father today is looking for sons and daughters rising, sons and daughters rising, but we are beloved sons, beloved daughters. There's an ancient saying, and you guys can stand up right now. Do we ask Pastor Ray if you jump on the keys? Is that okay? Or we can have soaking music in the background or something. Ancient saying, they say that the Father is the lover. The Son is the beloved. The Holy Spirit is the love. It's like the Father is the kisser. Mwah! And the Son, he's the kissed. Mwah! Oh, Papa! Wow. He allows himself to be kissed, and the Holy Spirit, he's the kiss. You're in Christ. You're in the Son. You're in the Beloved. Your job is to be loved. The foundation of Jesus' ministry was, this is my beloved Son. In him I am well pleased. Have you heard that? I'm not just saying in your head. Have you heard it deep down in your spirit, in your heart of hearts, that you are my beloved daughter? In you I am well pleased. I love you. I love you. I love you. So my question for you today is, in this season shift of the Father's love, in this season shift of a kingdom that looks like a family where sons and daughters can rise up, will you say yes to allowing the Father to love on you? Will you say no to all the lies that say I haven't done enough? Will you let the Father love you this morning? Because he's right here in this place. So why don't you just close your eyes right now? I want to speak some of the words of the Father over you. And your job is to be loved. It's the Father's kingdom. Our Father, your kingdom. If we want to carry the kingdom, we need to know our Father. He's not just my Father, he's our Father. We're in on this together. And if the Father, if you could hear his voice as your eyes are closed, he'd be saying something like this. I'm here. I'm in this room by my spirit. I've been here the whole time because I love you. Just close your eyes and allow the voice of the Father to come into you. He's saying, I love you, my daughter. I love you, my son. You are my beloved child. In you I am well pleased. I've been dreaming of you. You are so important to me. You mean the world to me. You mean so much to me. You're worth dying for. There is room for you in my presence. In my Father's house, said my son, are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. I have prepared a place for you. I've prepared a place for you. There's room for you. There's so much room for you in my presence. There's so much room for you in my love. I love you. I love you more than you ever yet dared dream. You're loved by me. I have compassion towards you. I have love towards you. I know everything that's going on in your world. I understand your world. I'm not in denial about your world, but I love you. I love you. I love you because I'm your Father. I'm the Father you've always wanted, you've always dreamed about. So if you're here and if you would like, I'm gonna just end off right now. But some of you in this place, you can feel love just welling up in your heart. Some of you need to make a decision. I'm gonna let the Father love me, because the Father has been longing to let you love him. Longing for you to refuse the lies of I'm not good enough. And so if you can feel like love just welling up in your heart, you can feel an outpouring of love, then I'm going to invite you to come on down the front. I'm going to pray for you for a baptism in the Father's love. I'm going to pray that his love fills you and floods through you, and you get touched and you step into who you are as a beloved daughter, a beloved son. It is the beloved sons and the beloved daughters, the given over ones who carry the kingdom and see his beauty filling this earth. This city needs love. The problems in this city are because of the love deficits. And the only way for his love to fill the love deficits is for his children to receive his love, so that they become love, so that they can give love. It all starts with you receiving love. You receiving love is not selfish. You can only give what you've got. And so I feel right now in my heart, the Father's releasing a baptism in the Spirit. If you can feel love right now, just begin. You can feel something welling up in your heart. You can feel something on your eyes, something in your chest. You can feel love. I can see the Father's eyes. I can see the way He's looking at you with tears of understanding and empathy. We're going to choose to let Him love us today. I probably need a catcher.